But, you know what I wanted to bring up in the NFL is your buddy Baker Mayfield being a hero again. Like this
with
guy.
What, the dance after the game?
Yeah.
Like you don't like a dance in the locker room? What's wrong with the dance?
Because he doesn't dance when he gets rich. But yeah, he just can't help himself. He's being a hero because they win. Like it just, I don't know. The guy, like, he brings it on himself. That's what I'm saying.
He was quite literally perfect in the second half. Like, quite literally. He didn't miss a pass. His quarterback rating was 158.3 or whatever it is.
Tough news after the game, though. He lost his guy.
Yeah, Beckham Jr.'s done for the year. And Odell and he were starting to connect a little bit more this year than they have the past year. But and it's against the Bengals, right? You snuck past the Bengals. You shouldn't be popping your chest out. But they are 5-2. Like, they're 5-2. So... I think we got Marcellus back. Where are you at with the Baker Mayfield stuff? You know, the attitude when he's struggling, when he's losing, and, you know, the break dancing when he's winning. Are you cool with that or what?
I'm not cool with Baker Mayfield right now. he's not consistent. He's one of those guys we say that runs hot. So when he's hot, yeah, he's great. But the problem is he's cold more so than you want him to be, more times than you want him to be. And that just leads to inconsistency. Coaches always preach that they want reliability out of their players. First, availability, stay healthy, and then be reliable. If you're a great player, play great. If you're not such a great player, hey, be consistent in who you are because then we can plan accordingly. Baker Mayfield in his top 8 games in the NFL, 4 of those 8 have come playing the Cincinnati Bengals. So what is he doing? He's bingo feeding. He's basically bottom feeding on the Bengals, who've only won 7 of their last 40 games. And then the rest of the league, he struggles in comparison to those games against the Bengals. So I don't like it. It becomes a vicious cycle in terms of his personality, where he'll talk crazy because he wins, and then he'll go out there and have a bad performance, and then he blames the media for talking bad about him, and then we have to go through the cycle again and wait for him to play a good game. In short, this week he had a 135 quarterback rating, 21 straight completions, looked amazing from the second quarter on. Last week he had a 58 quarterback rating, he threw 2 interceptions, and they rated that game the 3rd worst of all quarterbacks this season. Which one are you going to get, last week or this week?
Well, another quarterback who's similar is Cam Newton. Things are going well. He's dancing around at practice. He's loving life, having fun. Now things are not looking too good for him and Belichick. What do you make of the last couple of weeks in New England?
It's the turnovers. Yeah, I don't care who you are. If you give up the football, you're going to have problems in the NFL. And that's what's happening with Cam Newton in terms of the turnovers. The first 3 games, they had 3 combined turnovers. The last 3 games, they've had 10. And that's a problem. Even the Patriot way, Belichick era, when you commit 3 or more turnovers, you lose 60% of those games. When you go out there and protect the football, 2 or fewer, you win 80% of those games. So Belichick, no matter how great a coach he is, still needs his quarterback to protect the football. One of the greatest attributes of Tom Brady was his protection of the football. And Cam Newton right now finds himself in a really interesting place. Because you think about it, this team was supposed to be bad. But then Cam Newton actually played them into a better place in our minds in terms of expectations. He actually turned trash into treasure. And we started to say, oh, they actually look good. But in reality, they're not a good team. Whether it's the COVID opt-outs, they had 8 guys, 6 of them starters, especially defensively, that wanted to tap out, guys like Adante Hightower. And I think this team right now is just eroding because of the lack of talent and them not protecting the football. And what's interesting in watching Cam Newton, despite his fast start, every single week that Cam Newton has played this year, his passer rating has gone down every single week. I think the first week it started at 100, and it started to go down all the way to the point where this week it was down to a 35.
Yeah, that's going to be an issue every day of the week, and we'll see how Belichick handles it. You know it's not going to get out of control publicly. It's not going to leave the room, quote-unquote, like it has down in Dallas, and now it's gone viral with the Cowboys. I mean, everyone's taking shots at everyone else. It is a full-blown dumpster fire. They put 3 points on the board against Washington. You know, like they are a mess. And I get the blame on McCarthy. He deserves heat. He looks like he's got no control of his team. But it always starts at the top for me. And somehow we give Jerry Jones a pass because he's, you know, he gives an interesting interview and he's an old football guy and we remember him from the 90s and all that kind of stuff. He has put this team together and they suck. Like, they are atrocious. And no one's pointing fingers at Jerry. Everything's about Mike McCarthy. And I think it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. I don't know how many more games they're going to win all year. Dallas is a disaster right now.
They are. It's a dumpster fire. But it's interesting that we can say all what you just said, and I can pile on even more. And they still find themselves only a half game out of first place.
Who cares, man? They're still garbage.
They are.
Yeah, but that garbage gets a chance to play for the championship if you just win. You could be the worst of the teams that qualify, but you still get a chance. And in that qualifying opportunity, anything can happen. You can get on a 3-4 game winning streak in the playoffs. It's Super Bowl time. That is way too far away from this conversation. I just want to give it to you in framework. Because everyone's talking about the Cowboys in a bad situation, how bad they look. But let's compare it to who we were just talking about in Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns. Cleveland Browns find themselves in the same position as the Cowboys, third place in their division. But they're in third place by two games, where the Cowboys are only behind by half a game. They're in a much more difficult division. And in that situation, we talk about the two teams they have to beat. They have to beat Baltimore and they got to beat Pittsburgh to climb up in their own division. They've lost to those two teams 76-13. Meanwhile, the Cowboys can't score anymore without Dak Prescott. But in their last two games, it was 63-13. I only bring up these parallels because in one situation, the sky seems to be falling in Dallas. But at the same time, they're actually in a better predicament than a team that's only lost two games than the Cleveland Browns. Just because of what division they're in. So the Cowboys, they don't know which way is up. They keep blaming the coach, which is weird because I've been on some bad teams before. And no matter who the coach it was, Bill Parcells, Marty Schottenheimer, Marv Levy, we were on 4-win teams, 5-win teams, 6-win teams. It's not about being out-coached. It's about being out-executed, out-performed. And until these guys take a sense of pride in their work, I don't care who the coach is, it's going to be disastrous results.
Well, we'll get you out of here on the week ahead for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I'll give credit to the Bucs and Brady. I mean, Brady is lighting this league on fire. It's going up and down. I mean, he's had some bad weeks, some ugly weeks. And I saw some tape courtesy of, I think, NFL Network, where Peyton Manning's breaking down game tape. And Peyton said he's starting to use his own playbook. Like, basically, finally, it's the Patriots-Brady playbook in Tampa, right? And I'm curious as how this is going to play out with Antonio Brown, because on one hand, I think it's a good sign that Brady is so focused on winning that he's willing to bring in Brown. Like, he wants Brown. He's actively pursuing Antonio Brown, knowing the history of this guy over the past year and a half. But he's playing with fire by bringing him in. He's already got a lot of weapons. They're already leading that division. I think they're probably going to win it now at this rate. How do you see it playing out with the Bucs once Antonio Brown finally steps in and starts playing?
Yeah, I'm going to be optimistic about this. I'm going to look at the positives. The glass is half full. One, because of the talent. Like, there's no sneezing at the ability that he still possesses and what he would do to the receiving core in terms of production. Also, in case of injury, like to Mike Evans, which has happened this year already, to Chris Godwin, which has happened this year, in case of emergency, you break glass and you have Antonio Brown coming out there. I love the fact that he won't be double covered. So now you're in a situation with the most prolific duo last year in terms of production. And now you add Antonio Brown. Who do you double cover? So basically, the same Antonio Brown who had an NFL historic 6 consecutive years of 100 catches or more and 1,200 yards or more now won't even have to do that and be double covered. He's single covered. Insane in terms of what it can mean on the field. But let's talk about that dynamic in the locker room and off the field. I think they have it set up properly. It's a good cop, bad cop situation. Tom Brady's all in for Antonio Brown. So he's the good cop. Hey, Antonio, follow my lead. I'm the leader in this locker room. Play it my way and you're fine. But then there's one bad cop that's going to enforce that in case Antonio Brown gets out of line. And that's Bruce Arians, who's coached Antonio Brown before, who also knows and has said, I didn't want Antonio Brown on our roster this year. So as much as Antonio Brown is needed in terms of extra production and reliability and insurance policy, Antonio knows if he gets out of line that there's one person in this room that doesn't have my back. And that one person happens to be the guy who calls all the shots in Bruce Arians. I think it's going to work out, and I think it's going to work out beautifully.
All right, we'll see. Great stuff, buddy, as always. We'll do it again next week. Thank you for this.
All right, guys. Take care, brother.
Marcellus Wiley from FS1, longtime NFLer.
I wanted to get into the Gurley. I know it's kind of like small picture, but it just, I watched it, Brian, and it bugged
it's
the
ridiculous.
Hell out of me.
It is ridiculous.
Like he just had to get down.
Yep.
But Michael Lombardi came up with a good point. Why did they just kneel? Why did they give him the ball? Why did they even give him an option? They couldn't kneel.
The Falcons find a way to lose. That's the answer.
It, you know what it is? That's what they say when losing teams do loser things. That's exactly what that is.
Yep.
And when he came out and said, you know, I just went, no, you knew that. You could tell he was this. It's just like the guy that wants to shoot it from the other side of the red line to get a goal in the empty net. You just can't stop yourself. He was there, and he's like, you know what? I just kind of want to actually get a touchdown.
Yeah, I'm going.
Couldn't stop himself.
I'm going in. Well, you look at the Falcons' the win probability, which, you know, take it for what it's worth.
They've had 98% or some nonsense.
99.9% against the Cowboys, 99.6% against the Bears, 95.9% yesterday against the Lions, and they lost all three.
Can't
like they actually sense. Might be an okay team. Like they could be
no.
okay.
No,
but. You know, bad teams find a way to lose. Good teams find a way to win. It's the ultimate cliche, but there's examples of it all the time.
Here's some trivia like that before we go to break. Do you know another sports franchise that had the odds of 99.99999% chance of winning the sporting event and ultimately lost? Do you know, or should we go to break and let you think about it?
Oh, I'm very familiar with it. It was 4-1 with 11 minutes to go. Clark MacArthur had a breakaway. Matt Fratton had a breakaway. They still could have won in overtime. Like, people always let them off the hook for that. The Leafs could have just regrouped like professionals and mature humans, but no, the game was over before they even dropped the puck in the fourth period.